The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m., and if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Dear Lord, we magnify your holy name, for you're a king and you're a Lord, Prince of Peace, our healer, our protector. And Lord, we just give ourselves to you this morning in worship and praise. Lord, we lift up the name of Jesus. It's by your Spirit, Lord, that we're able to stand here this morning. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We give our hearts to you this morning, Lord. Use this time for your glory, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. Bro, thank you. Thank you. Jim. We thank those who have led us in praise and worship. You may be seated. It's one of those glued-together mornings. The pastor, for those of you who just came in, would know that the pastor's under the weather today, and I have the privilege of being able to stand here, certainly not to fill in for him, but just to do the best we can with what we got. He's the man. He's the man, and he'll be back next Sunday, I'm sure. Next Sunday, I believe, we start 21 days of prayer and fasting. Is that correct? I'm looking for affirmation here. Uh-huh. I got a definite uh-huh. Start next Sunday and run through the 28th. And we'll be talking a little bit, maybe a little more than a little bit, about prayer and fasting today, and just spending some time with you in the Word and talking about some of the things that I think God's placed on my heart for us this morning. I'm hopeful. 2017, for all of the bad news and all of the stuff that we see in the press and the media, 2017 was a good year for me, and I hope it was a good year for you. It was a good family year. It was God took care of us, and happy to be looking forward to a new year. I'm a happy person, and one of the reasons I can say that is because my hope is in the kingdom of God. It's not in ABC and NBC and CBS and all those folks. I'm not sure how much they've got for us. I watch the news. I want to keep up with what's going on, but it doesn't give me a whole lot of hope. Stock market makes me feel pretty good. Some of the other things make me feel pretty good, but actually, it's just a lot of stuff going on, and it's the way of the world. And you and I do not belong to the way of the world. You and I belong to the kingdom of God. That's what our passport says, kingdom of God. We live in the world. We affiliate with the world. We have work to do in the world. But the fact of the matter is, our hope and our meaning and our purpose in life comes from the kingdom of God. There's a place in Romans chapter 1 where they describe, where the writer describes kind of what the world's like. And see if this, he wrote it a long time ago, but see if it doesn't read true today, beginning in verse 18. For those of you who would follow along. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, then 21, then 29 through 32 for your notes. Verse 18 says, the wrath of the Lord is being revealed from heaven against all the godliness and godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. I'm impressed by a lot of the things that are happening in the press and people being accused of sexual immorality. This has been going on for years. They talk about a culture of these things, and it's wickedness. But yet, you couldn't see it. But then in time, in God's timing, this stuff is revealed. You can't get away with things in life and it not be revealed in the kingdom of life. Verse 21 says, for although they knew God, when Congress opens up, when a lot of these meetings, they open up with prayer. They have chaplains. They have people who minister to them. They've heard the word. They know the story. They got the scoop. And it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. You take one step. You take one step, and then you get used to that, and that becomes light to you. Then you take another step. It's sort of like when you wake up in the middle of the night, and you got your night vision on. You can see a little bit. But when you went to bed and you just came out of the light, it was really dark, and you couldn't see anything, could you? But our eyes get used to the darkness. And your eyes get used to the darkness and the foolishness that's going on. And they keep walking deeper and deeper into the place of darkness. And in verse 29 says, and they had become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They're full of envy, murder, strife, deceit. Living life is a lie. Living life is a lie. Deceit and malice. They gossip. Slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They boast about how good they are, and they boast about how well-meaning they are. But in reality, it's all self-serving. So much of it is selfishness. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. And although they know God's righteous decree, that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do those very things, but also approve those practices in others. It's just amazing. It's just amazing to me. And I'm not talking down about Congress any more than any other group of people in the whole world. But deceit and lying is the way of the world. And you and I have a place. I'm hopeful because I know that you and I have a place to make a difference and to make that different than it can be. You and I are salt and light. You and I have been called as members of the kingdom of God to make a difference in this world, beginning right here. There's a national malady going on right now with suicide. The suicide rate by some is said to be epidemic in proportion. Of the suicide rate in the United States, Louisiana ranks in the upper echelon of suicides per 100,000 people. St. Tammany Parish is resident in the upper echelon in Louisiana. There are 64 parishes in Louisiana, and we have been as high as number 3 in suicide rate. Right now, we're about number 10 or 11. So even within our immediate midst, so we can look at places far away and see the evil over there, but right around us, there's death, there's evil, there's destruction. There are things going on right now, and the mental health people are doing a great job. I take nothing from them. The people here in St. Tammany Parish, STOPS and NAMI and some of the other organizations are doing a great job in telling us about mental health and helping us to prevent suicide. But there's a missing element. There's a spiritual element of suicide, the spirit of death that is there, and they are not equipped to attack that. It's you and I. The missing element in the suicide prevention is prayer and fasting. So I tell you these things this morning because I want to start out with something that's way beyond us, to say there's an epidemic going on in the nation that we can easily see through what's happened in Congress, but not limited just to that. But there's an epidemic that's right here. Your neighbors next door. Denise and I as chaplains have been out on suicides. Older people, younger people. The last one went out was a 15-year-old boy in Covington. Tragic. Tragic in every way. And those things are going on around us. There's death and there's destruction. But we're people, we're hope. We're the people of hope. We're the people who can make a difference. We are salt and light. We are the loving children of God. He cares for us. He takes care for us. But he also gives us a job to do. We're not saved by our own righteousness. Not one of us has been good enough to say, well, I'm good enough to go out and handle that. You're not. no more than I am or Pastor Morris or Sister Pat or Denise or anybody else. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb. It's because Jesus trusts us with the love of God to do that. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful because we have the opportunity to do something. As we get ready for this 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want to talk to you a little bit about prayer and fasting, but I want to talk to you a little bit about what we can do, what you can do. You are not hopeless. You are not the victim. You are not the one who is over there saying, well, I can't do anything about it. That's a long ways away. In a very spiritual way, I say baloney. You can do something about it. As citizens of the kingdom of God, we have tools available to us and such specific direction from God about what we can do, and we're going to talk about that this morning. You're familiar with 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14, which says, if my people, do you know the verses? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from your evil ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We're going to go with that scripture today. That's if you want to write one down, that's where we're going to be. But we're going to tie it into prayer and fasting. Because you see, when he talks about humble yourself, we understand humble yourself to be fasting. That's one of the main ways we can humble ourselves, because by fasting we war against this body of ours. By fasting and praying, we humble ourselves before God. We say, even our plate of food before us that we just thanked you for is nothing compared to who you are. The scripture calls us to humble ourselves, to pray and to turn from our evil ways. Jensen Franklin is probably the leading advocate of fasting and prayer. And every year he does the 21-day fast. I suppose he's the one that kind of introduced it to our Christian brothers and sisters. Every year over 500,000 people in the United States join him that he knows about. People who write in and said, yep, there's 20 of us fasting here. Yep, there's 100 of us fasting here. Over 500,000 people join themselves together with him. Is fasting a good thing? Is it something we ought to do? Well, Daniel fasted. We read that in the book of Daniel. Jesus fasted for 40 days before he began his ministry. Paul, after he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, he fasted from food and water for 3 days. After he'd encountered Jesus. Paul and Barnabas in Acts chapter 8 fasted before they began a period of new ministry. Fasting is the first step in hearing from God. For this reason, fasting is an act of our will. This body that we have wants to survive. This body has built-in mechanisms of survival. What if you never got hungry and you starve to death because you were never hungry? Well, you can look at me and see that's not the case. My hunger mechanism works just fine. But this body of ours is a demanding entity. It's demanding because it'll take our attention off of everything else. When we're hungry, it's hard to think about anything else. But if by act of our will, If we're willing to put this body under subjection, to say, body, you're not in charge. My spirit's in charge. And why in the world would I want to do that? Why in the world would I just say, well, just feed the body and think about God? Because I want to take everything out of my life that does not put God first. And sometimes this food type thing just kind of gets in the way. It kind of gives us the victory. It says, who's in charge? Who is in charge of your life? And it's you. The decisions that you make, the places that you are, as my grandson says, he has to make good choices. The good choices that my grandson makes determine how his life is going to be. And as we make good choices, we want to put things out of our way that are just distractions. So when we hear in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 to humble yourself, what he's saying is, put yourself down. Put your hunger down. Put it away from you. Eating is natural as crying or when you're sad or laughing when you're happy. It's just what you do. The body fights to dominate and to be first. Without some act of spiritual will on our part, the physical man, without an act of will in your part, the physical man will shout down the spiritual man every time. It just works that way. If you've fasted before, you know that the first day of fasting is one of those days that's all you think about is food. Normally, I'm supposed to have bacon and eggs about this time. Now I'm supposed to have biscuits and gravy. About this time, we're going to have macaroni and cheese and a green salad to go along, a little small green salad to go along with it. First day, that's what we think about. Second day, we get a headache. And the body's saying, I'm going to torture you until you do something about this. But by the third day, if you've fasted, done a water fast, by the third day, your body starts giving up. By the third day, your body starts saying, hey, if you're not going to feed me, I guess I'll go ahead and consume some of the wealth that you've already stored up. And it begins to consume the fat in the store because it's going to survive. Your body is going to survive, and instead of asking for more, 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 it's going to survive. It's when that happens. It's when your body starts using the stored up reserves, we'll say nicely. When it starts using up the stored up reserve, that's when your mind is no longer concerned about your body. And almost it gets to the point, if you fasted for any period of time after some days, it gets to the point where you really don't want to eat again. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling strong. I'm feeling better. There's health benefits to fasting, and your body starts enjoying some of those things. But by humbling our body, by putting our body down, it lets that spirit man begin to evolve. It lets that spirit man begin to show himself. Because it's that spirit man that we want to wake up. It's that spirit man that talks to God. It's that spirit man that humbles yourself, that where you humble yourself to be before God, so that you can pray and you can seek his face. Denise and I have fasted for 21 days for the last 8 years. And we didn't know about it until we came back to the States from the mission field, and Pat Morris introduced us to the subject. By that time, you had already been fasting for some years here at the church. And for 8 years now, we've done that in January every year. And it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing. It's a hard thing to get started, but it's not a hard thing to do once you get started. It's like exercise. You know, it's a hard thing to do, but once you get to exercising, I don't do much of that either, but I will be doing more. I'm sure of that. The point of fasting is not necessarily to suffer to impress God. Oh, look at Bob. Golly, he walked right by that lemon cheesecake, you know, that was sitting in the refrigerator, and he didn't have any more of the cookies. He's suffering for me. Isn't that nice? I think I'll bless him. God is not impressed. If you're trying to impress God by hurting yourself and going through all this thing, God's not impressed with that at all. It's fasting is for you. Fasting is not to get God's attention and say, look how good I am, any more than our salvation depends on us being good boys and good girls. Our salvation is a gift of God by the grace of God. Our salvation is what God does for us. Fasting is what you do for yourself, to put yourself in a place where you can pray. And where you can seek his face. You know, we can do our prayer thing let me not go there. I'll go there in a second. Hold on. No one can serve two masters, it says in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. Normally we apply that to money type things. But we can apply it to fasting as well. we can apply it to fasting. It says you can't serve the spirit man and you can't serve the physical man at the same time. Fasting has to do with putting that physical man at rest. Fasting is give the physical man a break. Let him rest for a while so that the spiritual man can reach out and reach up. Step one is to humble yourself before God by fasting so that you're spiritually prepared. The object is to be spiritually prepared to hear from God. Step two is prayer is communication. Seeking God's face. You know, a lot of times they say, well, when we pray, we read our laundry list to God. Good morning, Lord. How are you doing today? Thank you for a good night's sleep. Appreciate that. Glad we're up and around. Here's what we're doing today. Need the car to start about 9 o'clock this morning without any difficulty. I want to be on time for my 11 o'clock appointment. And give me favor when I meet with those people that this will happen and that will happen. And we go through our laundry list of what we expect God. So he knows what he's supposed to do. We certainly wouldn't want God to be confused and not know what he was supposed to do for me today. But that's not seeking his face. Pray and seek his face. To be in his presence. Wasn't it good this morning to walk in church and see people you haven't seen in a while? Wasn't it good just to see their smiling face and says, hey, Johnny, glad to see you, buddy. Judy, glad you're back. And some of the others I haven't seen for a while. It was just good to see your face this morning because it made me smile. It made me happy to see your face. It's not too different when we seek God's face. When we pray with him and we seek, God, you just look so beautiful today. There's a countenance. You know, I'm just encouraged. Don't you love people that when you're with them, you're just encouraged to be in their presence? You know, you just walk up and you just know they're going to hug you. You just know they're going to love on you. They're going to give you a good hug. You're going to reach your hand out to shake their hand. They're going to give you a big bear hug and say, man, I'm glad to see you. That's what God's looking for, and that's what he says, to pray and to seek his face, to seek the intimate part of who he is, to be one with him, to enjoy him. And as we do that, there are things on God's heart that we need to be concerned about. And as we talk with him about those things, praying for other people can be one of those things. There's so many things we need to be praying for. Beyond your grocery list and my grocery list. Praying for understanding for those who are suffering. You know, there's a lot of people that we run into who are not Christians. And they said, well, you just don't understand where I am. You just don't understand what's going on. Well, you know what? Maybe we need to try to understand. When we're praying for other people, when we meet other people who talk to us, maybe we need to spend time with them. Maybe people we wouldn't normally associate with, but hear them out. Know where they are. Know where they're going. Pray that God will give us those divine appointments to be with people who need a listening ear so that we can pray for them, that we can understand where they are and what they're going through. We can pray that God will remove racial barriers. We've made a lot of progress in that area, but you know what? There's still a lot of progress to be made. Put people who are different than us. It doesn't necessarily have to be black and white, but just people who are different than us. Put them in our path. And God, help me to understand who they are. Help me to love these people. What a great thing, what a great way for us to be serving God by learning what's really going on in other people's lives. Pray for our leaders in office. You know they need it. After we've seen what we've seen by people who are in political power, there's a lot of pressure that goes on those folks. And we need to be praying that they'll be strong and praying that they'll be healthy and praying for those things. We need to be praying for our brothers and sisters around the world, for their families and those who are being martyred. I don't know what the numbers are, but I do know that there are thousands of people every year who die simply because they're Christians. We need to be praying for those people. These are things that God is concerned about. As we seek his face, we want to be interested in what he's interested in. And he's interested in the sick and the hurting. He's interested in these kind of people. We want to be able to bring others to Christ. We want opportunities to proclaim Christ. We want to pray for peace and sanity of life. We also want to pray against the suicide, the spirit of death. These are things that don't touch our lives, but they concern God. And these are things that we need to be asking Him about and talking with Him about. So, Lord, what role do I need to play? What do I need to do? It's up to us to pray. From Scripture, we also know that we're in the last days. There are people all around us who don't know Jesus. And soon and very soon, and we've been saying soon for very soon for a long time in my life, but I'm going to continue to say soon and very soon, Jesus is coming back. They're going to blow the whistle. It'll all be over. Our family members that we've been hesitant to tell about Jesus, if they don't know, if we don't tell them, they may never know. To be able to reach out, to be able to say, Lord, open door. Lord, give me doors of opportunity as I seek His face. This is part of healing the land. As people come to find Jesus and give up the sinful ways of life and the evilness of life, one at a time, that's how we make Christians, one at a time. And for praying for our family, for praying for our neighbor next door, people that we never talk to, pray that you'll be a powerful witness. When's the last time you gave your testimony? When's the last time you talked to somebody about Jesus? Pray that the Lord will help you with that. If each one of us touches 10 people, if there are 10 people I know that nobody in this room knows but me, pardon me, and if there's 10 people that you know that nobody else in this room knows but you, even though our numbers are small, we can address hundreds of people in the next week if we'll talk to those 10 people about Jesus. People that we work for, employers, co-workers, people that we run to as in our service to other people, that we might be salt and light to the world. Speak the truth. Speak the truth of Jesus Christ in these troubled and difficult times. Pray that the Lord will give you insight and wisdom. Pray that the Lord will help you to know the words to speak, that He'll put the people in front of you to be able to do it. That as we go out as meek servants, meek and merciful, as we hunger and thirst after righteousness, not going out condemning the world, turn to burn. This is it. Jesus is coming back. If you don't accept Him tomorrow, you're going straight to hell, and I won't miss you a bit. Not a good witnessing technique. You probably need to think of another way to do it. But if you pray that the Lord will help you, that the Lord will give you words, that you'll hear words coming from your mouth about your testimony. Your testimony is your personal experience about which you are an expert. Nobody knows your testimony better than you. And I'll say this, if it was good enough to get you saved, it's probably good enough to get somebody else saved. Tell them what you know. Love on them. Be meek and humble and mild, but be correct in the Scripture. These are things we need to pray about. Lord, help me. Put the people in front of me. Lord, I want to be able to make a difference. We might better understand our need for a Savior, that we might better understand our need for, continuing need for our Savior as we walk through life. There's a brother Lawrence who wrote the book, The Practicing the Presence of God. He was a cook in the kitchen, and he took God into the kitchen with him. He took God everywhere he went. So there are no tasks that we do and no places that we go that are not a place that God needs to be. And if they are a place that God needs to be, don't go there no more, okay? There also are personal issues. You know, the Lord gave us the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us our daily bread. You know, we depend on the Lord for our source. Our total being is tied up in Him and who He is. And He said, forgive us our debts, forgive us the things that we've done wrong, but give us the grace to be able to forgive other people. Are we walking around with hardness in our heart, with anger, with bitterness? Can we pray that God will help us? Can we seek His face, that God will help us to be better, that our anger, that our bitterness, that our unforgiveness. Has anybody ever done anything to you that you could possibly say did not justify forgiveness? That in your mind you says, this is, there's no way that you should be forgiven for what's happened. Well, that's probably happened to me, and it's probably happened to you. But yet Jesus says, the same way you forgive, I'll forgive you. The measure that you use in Matthew 6:38, I think it says, the measure that you use is the same measure I'll use for you. So as we pray, we want to ask God, help us. Lord, help us to be forgiving. Give me the grace, please, Lord. Give me the understanding. You know the expression, we're going to talk through something? You know, sometimes when there's unforgiveness, if we just take the time to talk through the issue, talk through whatever's going on and find out how they felt about it, find out what their side of the story is, we might be a little more willing to forgive. We might find out that there were some circumstances there that made a difference. We need to pray. And also, as Pentecostals, we have a special gift, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you've gone through all of these things and we prayed for other people and prayed for the strength to witness and prayed for the things that we talked about, our personal needs, then we can also pray in the Spirit. And when we do, we can pray beyond our own understanding. God understands. God already knows what you need. You know, he just wants to see your smiling face. He just wants to see you walk into the room kind of looking around for him and saying, there you are. I see you, Lord. I see you. I put this body, this flesh aside, Lord. I've been fasting. I've been putting this aside. And, Lord, here I am with you today. I thank you, Lord. I bless you, Lord, to be in his presence, to pray in the Spirit, to be able to see. Step one is to humble yourself by fasting. Step two is prayer. And step three, it says, to turn from our wicked ways. I think there's probably two parts of this we could talk about for our wicked ways. And part of it could be if there's addictions in your life, if there are habits in your life, if there are things, or again, back to the anger, the frustration, the bitterness, if there are those things in your life that you can turn away from, this is part of our wickedness, part of our softness, part of our hurtness. Turning away from our evil ways. So we can work on healing relationships. So we can work on the things that we need to work on. But also our evil ways is part of our testimony. If we walk through this life cussing and fussing and muttering and giving other people a hard time, not such a good witness. Not such a good witness. God says to turn from our evil ways, to be that loving and kind person, to be the one that God would have you to be. And while he's in the process of healing you of the things that hold you back, while he's in the process of doing that, emulate him, imitate Christ. What you see in Scripture, what you read from the Word, imitate those things. The thing that was popular some years ago, what would Jesus do? Follow the what would Jesus do in every situation. What would he do in the grocery store with somebody who looked like they need some help? What would he do with somebody alongside the street that needs an encouraging word? What would Jesus do? Turn from your evil ways and do it as he would have it done, so that you can be the witness. Paul says, do the things you see me do. And I said, boy, that is great for Paul. That scares the daylights out of me. But yet, that's what we've been asked to do. We've been asked to be that kind of a witness. We've been asked to be that kind of a role model, to live that kind of a life honestly and openly to make a difference. Prayer and fasting empowers us. Prayer and fasting empowers us. It adds to us. And during this 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want to see you add to who you are in Christ, to become a bigger model, to become a bigger role model than you've ever been before, and to let Lord do things in your life, to heal you of things you need to be healed of, maybe physically. but maybe spiritually, maybe emotionally. Getting the physical things out of the way, the fasting gets the physical things out of the way so that you can enjoy meeting God face to face. And you can be that image, that you can be that role model in the community of what Christ would have you to be. Instead of our burden, we must, instead of being a burden to other people, I think Christ would have us to be the one who helps them carry their burden, the one who helps us to pick up the slack. And during a prayer of time and fasting, it's asking you to step out beyond yourself, not to be the person that you are the other 340 some odd days a year, but to be that special person for 21 days. And year after year, a little of that specialness sticks, and we grow in Christ. We become more each year than we were the year before. And this is one of those special times. So I want to encourage you, be thinking about it this week. I'm sure Brother Morris will have more to say about that next Sunday. I know he intended to preach on prayer and fasting today. And I just wanted to kind of, I guess, introduce the subject to you and ask you to be thinking this week in terms of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, if my people, that's us, will humble themselves, if you'll fast and put that body under submission and pray and seek his face and give up your evil ways, then he'll heal your land. And he'll do the things that need to be done in your life. We'll be better off. You'll be better off. It sounds like we're asking you to do something for somebody else. Truth is, asking you to do it for yourself. It's one of the best gifts that you can give yourself, is to spend 21 days in his presence. And at the end of 21 days, come and share with each other what God has done. What God has done in your life. And surely, he will. If you follow it, if you do it, if you're part of it, I can almost guarantee you that you'll have a testimony of something great that God did. I'm hopeful for 2018. I'm hopeful not because of what I hear in the news or what political parties in power, but I'm hopeful because Jesus is in power and he's a part of our life and we got good things getting ready to happen because we're going to be better than we were before. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time you've given us this morning. We thank you for your word, which is always true. And Lord, I pray that you take these thoughts that were uttered this morning, and Lord, you translate those into action in each of our lives. Lord, let there be one word, one sentence, one opportunity, Lord, that would make a difference to each one of us. Help us to be strong. Help us to be all that we need to be. Bless Pastor Morris this morning, Father. We pray for healing in his life, 110%. Lord, may he come back better and stronger next week, ready to continue his worthy ministry to us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't usually preach for an hour, so you get off early today. If anybody would like me to pray with you, I'd be glad to spend some time with you in prayer this morning. I'll just, like Morris does, I'll just hang out here in the front for a few seconds. And anything that we can do to bless you, make it known. We'll do our best. Amen? Amen. God bless you. Have a good week.